All right, over the weekend, it was announced officially James Franklin to Penn State.
We're coming here with the mindset that we're going to build this program, we're going to build it the right way, and we're going to build it for the long haul. And we plan on being here for a very, very long time. This is my dream job, wearing these colors, representing this state, representing these high school coaches and the people of the fine state of Pennsylvania is what I want to do for a very, very long time.
Great hire, I think, by Penn State. I tried to explain to our friend R.J. Hawk this morning why it's a good hire and why he's a great coach. I mean, he did, not virtually, but the actual impossible at Vanderbilt. He made Vanderbilt into a legitimate contender. Now, admittedly, he caught the SEC East when it wasn't exactly at its pinnacle, but the impressive performance the last couple of years certainly would warrant a hiring at a place like Penn State.
It was the same thing as like when Gary Barnett turned Northwestern into a 3 or 4 year winner 2 decades ago. In the same situations, and that's back when Big Ten football, you could actually say, might have been the class of college football. So it makes a lot of sense, you know, to go to a bigger program, a lot more resources, and that's where he's from. I mean, I can even hear it in his voice. He sounds like a Pennsylvanian. Good luck to Coach Franklin up there, because they still have the bowl ban, I think, for another
couple years,
at least.
What does a Pennsylvanian sound like?
Well, he's got a little. I mean, I know he's from Eastern Pennsylvania, but there's a little bit of a swallow of the R and the L.
Hmm.
The L gets lost in the back of your throat every once in a while. Hmm. Not me, but the people I grew up around. Yes.
Yes, you have a non-regional diction that is,
I just don't know if Coach Franklin says yins or if he still says y'all from his years in Nashville, because yins would be what you're going to say if you're going to go recruiting in Western Pennsylvania.
Give it to me.
Yin's going to go play for the Penn State Nittany Lions and that. Yeah, my old cousin plays linebacker down there. That's how we sound.
Okay.
Yeah, like idiots.
But it makes you all sound a heck of a lot better, I'll tell you what. Christine Brennan of USA Today has written a fairly scathing column. I mean, she only really takes 2 points to task, I guess, on this particular issue. But she basically is saying it's not a good hire for the time being. She's saying that the fact that there were players charged with rape during his tenure at Vanderbilt would mean that he should not be in line for the Penn State job with the history they've had there. Last June, here's what she says. Last June, four of Franklin's players were charged with raping an unconscious 21-year-old woman in a dormitory, and a fifth player pleaded guilty to helping cover it up. All five dismissed from the team. If and when there's a trial, it would be Franklin's former players on trial. One of the former players' attorneys was quoted as saying he wants to subpoena Franklin. Whatever happens in that case, by hiring Franklin, Penn State will have attached itself to it. If there's a trial and Franklin's a part of it, Penn State would be a part of it too. Little bit of a stretch for me to say that he's part of it, quote unquote. I'm making air quotes now. I also, obviously, what these kids have done, allegedly, if they are in fact convicted, is about as bad a thing as you can be accused of and convicted of. However, if a kid has not committed a crime, it is hard for me to believe that a coach should in some way have a black mark on his resume or record over that. It's one thing if you're out chasing down kids who have questionable character, have been involved in some sort of illegal activity prior to you recruiting and bringing them to your campus. It's a far cry from a kid who hasn't had any kind of record going out and doing something terribly stupid like these kids are accused of doing. I think it's a stretch on her part, but it only gets worse in her column. Penn State's reported choice for new head coach said exactly this during a 2012 interview. I'm paraphrasing now. I've been saying it for a long time. I will not hire an assistant coach until I've seen his wife. If she looks the part and she's a D1 recruit, then you got a chance to get hired. That's part of the deal. There's a very strong correlation between having the confidence going up and talking to a woman and being quick on your feet and having some personality and confidence and being fun and articulate. He later apologized on Twitter, though. She says, after reading through those full paragraphs of Franklin's feelings on the topic, isn't that exactly what he feels? Maybe Penn State's leaders are yearning for a return of the 1950s in Happy Valley. If so, they have their man. I find Christine Brennan to be one of the more uptight writers in America today. A little holier than thou, especially in this particular column. You've got two extremely weak points. One, a tongue-in-cheek, offhanded comment, which everybody found amusing at the time. He did come back and apologize for it, which he didn't need to. And this is a very PC society we live in. I'm about as PC as they get. I cannot tell you how many conversations I have with on-air people about the way things are said or the way we handle topics. It happens all the time. And usually I get my eyes rolled at me. But the bottom line is I'm sensitive to PC. This is not a PC issue. This is a tongue-in-cheek joke of an issue that I think anybody with even a third, a quarter, an eighth, a sixteenth of a sense of humor would understand. For her to come at him about that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Now, again, to lump him in on the rape thing, too, is a bit of a stretch. I understand you got to fill with copy. You got to write something. But to me, to take a shot at James Franklin for those 2 points, I would much rather she write a column about how his gaudy record comes at a time when the SEC East is at its weakest in 20 years. That would make more sense to me. That would make me at least say, yeah, there's a little bit of credence to that. But that, to me, if you're going to pick out 2 points to go after James Franklin about, that's pretty silly.
It's like she realized, you know what, I'm supposed to write 1,000 words for this piece, and I only have about 650 on the first point. So let me look through here. That joke. I didn't find it too funny, so I'll write about that.
I'm sure she feels like she has to, as a female sports writer, and a respected one at that, come out and be sensitive, hypersensitive about issues that relate to women. And I'm all for that. But if you're not making any sense and you don't have a real point there, then you just come off as looking dumb. And I mean, she's better than that. I'm really disappointed that she wrote that column.
Well, and there are a lot of other folks that even cover Penn State that have tried to bring up the idea about the rape charges to the former Vanderbilt players and how that sort of, you know, plays into some of the issues that Penn State was dealing with beforehand. You know, I mean, as far as my understanding of that story is, I'm not sure if he's necessarily, you know, responsible for what these players did. They weren't even members of the team when it happened.
Yeah, the difference is he's not responsible for what these kids did, because when he found out about it, I mean, all I know is from what I've read, and he dismissed the kids from the team. What else is he supposed to do? You can't predict. You don't have this futuristic crime group. What was that movie with Tom Cruise?
Minority Report.
We don't have a Minority Report.
There's no pre-crime.
There is no pre-crime. There's no pre-crime division, even in Nashville, Tennessee. So he can't know what kids are going to do. All he can do is respond properly after it happens. He did that, at least according to what I've read. Okay? Now, Penn State is a completely different animal. To try to compare what happened at Penn State and what happened at Vanderbilt are completely apples and asparagus. They're not even both fruits. I mean, this is basically a true cover-up where people knew what a guy was doing and then repeatedly covered it up to try to cover the university's backside. Do you think it would have been better for Vanderbilt if the rape charges never came out? I bet it would have been. But what did he do? He dismissed the kids from the team. So I don't know what else he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
To even make any kind of correlation there is so silly. Yes, you'd love to have a coach that has no issues whatsoever from a discipline standpoint on his team. That'd be ideal. But you got a guy who's from the state, who is a great coach, who can motivate and shape young men, and that's what it's about. That's what he gets paid for.
And I'm happy for Penn State. I say that as a Pitt fan. This is a football program that, you know, has a ton of history behind it. Should be one of the marquee football programs in the country. Obviously has a lot of pieces to pick up after what went down. You know, the last however long years under Coach Paterno, but it's a good hire. They're in the right direction. And I'm sure Coach Franklin right now would just rather start recruiting and not have to worry about some of the controversy that's being ginned up.
Yep, I agree. Well, anyway, I just think she's better than that. I do have a lot of respect for her. I think she's very good. Hypersensitive, yes. And again, somebody's got to look out for those types of things, because it's still a male-driven, it's a male-driven industry. And so, I mean, it's good that somebody is the voice of reason from a female perspective. It's great, and I do respect her, but I think she dropped the ball on that one. I think she missed the point. A couple things here. For those of you who might be interested in who will be joining the SEC as a head coach, and again, there's always a trickle-down effect which could impact somebody around here. I don't know. I'm going to assume that Blake Anderson will not be in line to take over any of these openings if, in fact, one of these coaches takes the job at Vanderbilt. But some of the names that have been thrown around that I've read this morning as far as potential replacements for James Franklin at Vanderbilt, and let's be honest, the job of a coach is to leave the place in better shape than he found it. I don't know that anybody's done a better job in the last 5 or 10 years. I mean, hey, look, you want to look? How about Bill O'Brien at Penn State? He's done an unbelievable job of leaving that place in better shape than he found it, but I would say that James Franklin has done the same. Names that have been mentioned, Herb Hand, the offensive line coach at Vanderbilt. Don't know much about him. He was on the staff under Robbie Caldwell, who was a hoot for his interim performance, but didn't last very long. Tom Herman, offensive coordinator at Ohio State. Cincinnati native. Graduate assistant at Texas in 1999, currently in Columbus. Mark Hudspeth is a name that comes up just about any time there's an opening south of the Mason-Dixon line. Mark Hudspeth, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when he gets an opportunity.
When and where.
He's the University of Louisiana head coach. Pete Lembo, the coach that led Ball State to a loss in the GoDaddy Bowl, very close game, had a great season. They were runner-up behind Northern Illinois in their own division. They had a great year, has done a nice job. Mike McIntyre, the new head coach at Colorado, hadn't been there long. They did a little better job than they did in previous years. They won four games this season, including a win over Central Arkansas. Derek Mason, guy we got a chance to meet a couple years ago at the Broyles Award, defensive coordinator at Stanford. Great young coach. Great young coach. And again, you're coming from a school with very high academic standards. Certainly a guy you would think would have an opportunity to fit in there. Chad Morris is a name that keeps coming up, offensive coordinator at Clemson. Pat Narduzzi, defensive coordinator at Michigan State. Not sure he would take that particular position. That is a tough place to win for most coaches. And as the East continues to get better, and I'm going to assume that Tennessee will improve, I assume that Florida can't be any worse than it was this year. That's going to continually be a tough place to win. I don't know that Narduzzi takes that job because his name's going to continue to come up for other positions where he'll have a better chance to win. And then Greg Roman, Baz and I were talking about him this morning, he's the OC at San Francisco. Hey, what about a guy like, I don't think they would hire him just because of his background, but we're continually shocked by the fact that the former South Florida coach, who's the linebackers coach for San Francisco now, Jim, what's his name? I cannot think of it. We've had him on the show before. Coach Peterson's buddy. Who's the former South Florida coach? He started the whole program. Jim Leavitt. He's the linebackers coach. By the way, he has not one, not two, but three Pro Bowl linebackers on his team. I'd say he's doing a pretty good job. Admittedly, they got great talent, but he's doing a pretty good job as the linebackers coach in San Francisco.
Is this the last coaching job that's open in Division I football? I mean, it happens quickly, of course, and, you know, signing day is not that far off. So
I think so. Yeah. I can't think of one. I could be wrong.
There haven't been as many.
I've seen more. Yeah, we've had years where there have been more.
Sure, but I think this is the last one that's open.
Well, unless somebody leaves their current job to take this.
True.
Vanderbilt's, look, it's still in the SEC and it's still good money. Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
What's up? Fire away, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Justin. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, man, I got a question for you. I was just curious why, you know, we've had so many great coaches that's affiliated or that are fellow Arkansans or UA grads that never took the position there on the Hill. I mean, it goes back to Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, Butch Davis, even Pete Curl was a grad assistant there at Arkansas, and now you got the new head coach there at Texas and Charlie Strong. And Coach Malzahn, I know he did the offensive coordinator stint there under Nutt, but it's just hard to believe, and I don't understand how we let all this talent. I mean, it goes all the way back to Barry Bryant before both of our days. What's going on with him? Well, we can't keep these great coaches.
As far as Pete Carroll goes, I'm going to guess that there were many times that Arkansas would have loved to have had him, but he's always been in a little better position, unfortunately. Let's see, who else did you mention there? Charlie Strong, I mean, he doesn't have any affiliation with Arkansas specifically other than the state. But, yeah, I mean, it would have been a good hire at different points. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question, I guess. A lot of people are still questioning why Malzahn was never, you know, chased down when he was at Arkansas State. So, I don't know. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, yeah, obviously that would have been a guy that people would have, again, he's always been in a better position. You go from, you know, a coach of a major college football team that you win a national title, then you go to the NFL and win a Super Bowl. And then you go to the broadcast booth and make a whole bunch of money. So, I mean, again, he's not exactly an easy get.
Yes, sir. No disrespect to Coach Nutt and Coach Kenny Hatfield, but when I moved to Arkansas, I was only 12 years old, and I remember everybody was making kind of a big deal that they hired Kenny Hatfield, of course, Frank Broyles did, over Jimmy Johnson. And we know what happened the next year when Jimmy and his boys from Miami came over and took over. But I just don't understand how all this talent that you know, up the hill through the state, just land on the hill. And I have nothing against Jeff Long. I have nothing against the new coach, you know, Coach B. But it just seems that there's just something on the hill that's just not right. And you know, and this is the only team in the state. And I'll hang up and listen. I just kind of curious why.
I have no answers. I wish I did. I mean, it's a fair question, Dwayne. Thank you. There, you know what? I guess the bigger point for me is it's amazing how many great coaches have been turned out by the state of Arkansas. You know, think about it. Oh, and Bear Bryant? He tried to come to Arkansas. Kentucky wouldn't let him. Think how weird that is now. He's like, Kentucky, can I go talk to Arkansas? And they're like, no. He's like, okay. Otherwise, things could have gone a little differently. Instead of ending up at Alabama, he might have ended up at Arkansas. That changed fate a little bit.
Wow. Where would Nick Saban be coaching now?
Hmm.